All right, so we're continuing our travels through the topic of Einon Shemir Adin, which to me is still a fascinating topic. I'm enjoying every second of it, but because it may be a little monotonous to keep on going through Cheshash Pircha versus the Marsha's idea of insufficient kapara to what's the other major one is that Midihi Batorah, that this is just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the idea of Kal V'chomer, is that this is the rule. So I thought we would do one of Rav Yosef Engel's more, I guess you can call it esoteric or Hasidish or Kabbalistic. Well, this one's not a Kabbalistic one, it's just a little more esoteric ideas of explaining Einon Shemir Adin. So if you could skip ahead in your packets all the way to page 18 in your packets, page 18, Os Tez Zayin Beis HaOtzar. So we'll start with this. So Yosef Engel says like this. He says maybe the reason of Einon Shemir Adin can be explained based on a Bnei Yisachar in the name of Moreinu Rav Tzvi Hirsch Mizitchev Zatzal that goes as follows, runs as follows. Bnei Yisachar says as follows. There, it is not a coincidence that there are Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen, and that there are also Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. The fact that it's Yud Gimel is significant, and the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen do in fact line up. They align perfectly with the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, meaning number one to number one, number two to number. They line up exactly with each other. And he explains the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen. What is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen? The first one, Rabbi Shmuel, what is it? Come on. You gotta know this. Say it in your heads. Come on. Kal V'chomer. Yes, the first one is Kal V'chomer. The Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, what's the first one in the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim? That's a much harder question. Because that's Machlok Rishonim. We know what the phrase is, Hashem, Hashem, Kal Rachamim, V'chan, Erech HaBayim, Rechaz, etc. But we're not sure where the list actually starts. It's three-way machlokes rishonim, I think. The question is how you count the Hashem Hashem. So some rishonim say that counts as two of the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, Hashem lefnei achet and Hashem la'acher achet. Others say it counts as one, it's Hashem Hashem. And others say that it counts as none. That's just who we're talking about. Kel Rachum, Kel would be the first one. Rachum would be the second one. But Kel is really the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. The Bnei Yisachar assumes that he assumes that Hashem Hashem does not count at all. Like those Rishonim that assume that the first of the Yud Gimel Midos is Kel. So he says Kal V'chomer corresponds to Kel. Why does Kal V'chomer correspond to Kel? So he says you find, now unbelievable, this is an unbelievable vart that the Bnei Yisachar says. He says, if you look in the fourth line of that paragraph, do Yud Gimel Midos Hadrash Lu'umas Kel do Arishon B'Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim V'zeu She'Hispalil Moshe Kel Na Refan Na La. Moshe Rabbeinu Davins Kel Na Refan Na La. When does Moshe Rabbeinu Davin Kel Na Refan Na La? When he's davening for him, right, for his sister, for Miriam, for his Taras, Kel na Rafan Allah. V'hoshav lo, what does Hashem respond to him? V'avia yorok yirak b'fanah lo tichum shivas yamim. That if her father were to spit in her face, she'd be humiliated for 7 days. And Chazal say from that, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really meant to say is, so Kal V'chomer, when her beef is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she deserves to be sent out for 7 days, for at least 7 days, or at least it should have even been 14 days, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much more chamor. So unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu davens with the word Kel, and what's Hashem's response? Kal V'chomer. Why? Because Kel relates to Kal V'chomer. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Kal V'chomer. And he says, and don't think it's only on the first one that this happens to work out. If you look at the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim and the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen, unbelievable. The last of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen is Shnei Chesuv Mamachishim Zeh Ad Sheyavo Akos Vashlishi V'Yachriya B'neihem, which means what? You have two psukim contradict each other. You don't know what to do, where to go with it. Ad Sheyavo Akos Vashlishi V'Yachriya B'neihem, until you find a third pasuk that tells you how to make a hachra, how to apply the halachos in those first two psukim. Good. That's the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashas Pehen. What is the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? V'Nakei Lo Yinakei. That's the last of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Says the Gemara in Yuma about Vinakei lo Yinakei. Gemara says, Eif Shalomer Vinakei. You can't say Vinakei that one gets complete cleansing because Hare Amur lo Yinakei. Because the Pasuk says lo Yinakei. You can't say lo Yinakei that there's no cleansing from sin because Hare Amur Vinakei. It says that there is cleansing. So what do we do? What's another way of saying the Gemara's kasha? That v'nake and lo yinake are in fact shnei chsuvim hamachishim ze'ezeh. There, the last of the Yirul Mitzrachimim is itself shnei chsuvim hamachishim ze'ezeh. So the Gemara says, so what's the answer? V'nake is when you were asa tshuva. You did tshuva. Lo yinake is if you didn't do tshuva. How does that answer? There is another parsha in the Torah, another pasuk tells us about tshuva. Etc. The whole parsha of tshuva. The parsha of tshuva is the kosva shlishi. That's mechriya. That tells us when it's nakeh and when it's lo yinakeh. It says Rav Yosef Engel, in some girsaus in the brace of Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't say v'chein shnei chesuv mamachishim ze'ezeh. It says v'kan shnei chesuv mamachishim ze'ezeh. What's v'kan shnei chesuv mamachishim ze'ezeh? He says, because in here, in this 13th Midas HaRachamim, the 13th of the Yudal Midas HaRachamim, you actually have Shnei Ksuv Mamachishim Zezeh. You actually have an application of Shnei Ksuv Mamachishim Zezeh. It lines up perfectly. So now, going back to us, to the first of the Yudal Midas, Kal V'Chomer and Kel. So far, all he's established is Kal V'Chomer equals Kel. Well, what does... So, he says, Let's explore that a little bit further. Kal v'chomer and kel. Look in the next paragraph. Va'ayin. Va'ayin pirkat Rav Elazar perik nunhei. V'zel shona. Yerida ches. She'yarda kodesh baruch hu. Ba'ol moed. She'nemar v'yir Hashem ba'amud anan. V'yamod pesach ha'ol. V'yikra Aaron and Miriam. So this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Musar to Aaron and Miriam. When does he give Musar to Aaron and Miriam? Right after they speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. So then that's when Hashem's Musar comes, right? And then what happens? Miriam ends up with Saras, and then Moshe Davin's Kel Narufan Allah, and then Hashem responds with the Kal V'Chomer, right? Right. That's. So let's go to this first step, when Hashem is giving Musar to Aaron and Miriam. Hashem could use any tool at his disposal. He can use any style of speech he wants to give Musar to Aaron and Miriam. Listen to what he actually says. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kalamal Shnes Chaveru B'Seser, Ein Lo Refua. If you speak Lashon Hara about someone privately, there's no refuah for that. Al achiv ben aviv v'imo al achas kama v'kama. When you speak Lashon Hara about your brother who's the son of your mother and the son of your father, al achas kama v'kama, which is another word for Kal V'Chomer. So what does Hashem do? Hashem dafka gives Musar with a Kal V'Chomer. Why? Why is he giving Musar with a Kal V'Chomer? Says Rav Yosef Engel, he's obviously giving a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying, Moshe, pay attention to how I'm reprimanding them. I'm reprimanding them with the Kal V'Chomer because you need to know how to daven to me. You need to know which of the Midas HaRachamim is going to work to undo this. Moshe takes the cue from Hashem. He says, he gave the Musar the Kal V'Chomer. How does he respond to Hashem? Kel no refan Allah. And how does Hashem respond back? Again, a Kal V'Chomer. It's Kal V'Chomer, Kel, Kal V'Chomer. So that's how the conversation works. Why? Because Kel equals Kal V'Chomer. That alone wouldn't do anything for us. We're trying to figure out why Eino and Shemina did. All you did is showed us something cool about Kal V'Chomer. That Kal V'Chomer relates to Kel. But here's where it gets interesting. Second Yesod, says Rav Yosef Engel in the next paragraph, V'hine noda b'chachmas ha'emes. It is well known in Chachmas ha'emes, generally is a way we refer to Kabbalah. Chachmas ha'emes. So in general, I don't like Svarim that quote things from Noda. Noda b'svarim ha'kadoshim. Because most of the time, or often I find, when people quote things like that, they don't have, like, you know, I don't know it. So, prove it to me. Don't just tell me it's known, it's Yadua. So the godless of Rav Yosef Engel is, he doesn't just tell you it's known, it's Yadua. He shows it to you. He shows you exactly where it's known, where it's Yadua. It's a very big difference. That's a very important thing, something I'm very sensitive to. When I heard Rav Moshe Shapiro speak once, so I went in a little skeptical. Because, like, I hear a lot of people who are very into Maral, and they say, it's Yadua, there is this idea. I don't know. What do you mean, it's Yadua, there is this idea? Rav Shapiro, every word out of his mouth was backed up by 5 Gemaras. You know, by 5 Mamari Chazal. Every Yesod is a Yesod. It's really a Yesod. It's not just something that, Yadua. So Rav Yosef Engel, we have a real Talmud Chacham, someone who's dripping with Pekiyas, someone who's Malik Kreso, B'Shasu Poskim, and then he's able to present Chachmas HaEmes. So that carries a little more weight. So he says, "No de b'chachmas ha'emes, ki Hashem Kel hu Shem Midas HaChesed." Kel is a name of Hashem that's associated with Hashem's Midas HaChesed. Where do we find that? Ayin mechilta b'shalach ala kasuv ze keli v'anvehu. The Bnei Yisrael said a kriyas yamsuv ze keli using shem kel v'anvehu. Umuva b'ramban ala torah sham v'zalashonu. The Ramban quotes this medrash as follows. Ze keli nahegi mi b'midas rachamim. Zekeli is another way of saying, please use midas rachamim, because I'm using the term kel, and kel is midas chesed, midas rachamim. Uminayin shein keli el midas rachamim. How do I know that? Shnemar keli keli lama azavtani. Vomer kel na refanala. Vomer kel Hashem vayaralanu. Every time it's kel, it's always midas rachamim. Keli keli lama azavtani is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're supposed to be the rachman. How could you abandon me? You're the rachman. So it's midas harachmim. When you're davening for rachmim, keli keli lama azavtani. It's all kel narafanala. It's all rachmim. Vainbridge, Rabba Parsha Mem Gimel, hakel tamim darko ze Avraham. The Medrash says, when it says hakel tamim darko, that's a reference to Avram Avinu. What was Avram's midah? Chesed. So which Shem Hashem does Avram Avinu use to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with? Kel. Why? Because Kel is Chesed. Ki Avram midasu Chesed v'chinod aval kein yisyachis b'v'chinosu Hashem Kel asher hu gam kein Shem HaChesed. Val kein yireh ki biyos midas hakal v'chom m'chuvenes l'nus Hashem Kel du midas HaChesed. So now it all comes together. He says, Yisod number one is Kal v'chomer equals Kel. Right? The Yud Gimel midas equals the Yud Gimel the other Yud Gimel midas. Right? They equal each other. So Kal v'chomer is Kel. Yisod number two is that Kel equals Chesed. Einon Shemradin is now obvious. You can't be Ma'anesh based on the Midah that directly relates to Chesed and Rachamim. Chesed and Rachamim is the opposite of Onesh. Now, is that really true that Chesed and Rachamim is the opposite of Onesh? One could argue, no, Adraba, Onesh is the greatest Chesed that our Kodesh Baruch Hu does. Why would it be the greatest Chesed? It's Kapara. Right? But he's assuming not that way. Let's assume that Onesh, by definition, most people associate Onesh with negative feelings. Like you punish somebody when you're angry at them. Rachamim is when you're not going to show anger. So even though on a deeper level, maybe the greatest chesed, so he says, that's Einon Shin Min Adin. And he said, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, the next paragraph quotes from Medrash Rabbah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Uli Yishmol Shematicha, Hinei Barachti Yosov V'Yifresi Yosov V'Yaz Brisi Yakim Es Yitzchak. Kodesh Baruch says to Avram Avinu, look, I blessed Yishmael, so don't worry, Kal V'Chomer, I'm going to bless Yitzchak. Right? If I bless Yishmael, who's a Ben Ha'ama, so of course a Ben Ha'Gvira, the son of one of the Imahos, of course I'm going to bless, everything's going to be fine. Asks Rav Yosef Engel, why can't Hashem just say, I'm going to bless Yitzchak? What does he have to make a Kal V'Chomer out of it? If I bless Yishmael, then Kal V'Chomer, I'm going to bless Yitzchak. Kal V'Chomer. Just do it. Just say, I'm going to bless Yitzchak. What do you have to make a Kal V'Chomer for? Says Rav Yosef Engel, Avram is Midas HaChesed. When you want to tell Avram Avinu that his children are going to be successful, you speak in Chesed language. Chesed language is Kal V'Chomer. That's Midas Chesed. Kal V'Chomer is Kel, it's Midas HaChesed. Or, he says, alternatively, we know that Avram Avinu was only called Tamim. The Medrash says this explicitly also, that Avram Avinu was only called Tamim when? At what point in his life did he achieve completeness? Once he got a Bris Milah, ironically. Cut off a piece and now he's Tamim. Now he's complete. But that's how he achieved Tamimus. So what does it mean for an Avram Avinu to be Tamim? It means for the Midas HaChesed to be perfect in Tamim. So Hashem, and this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avram Avinu in the context of Bris about blessing Yitzchak. Right, so he's telling Avram Avinu, look, I'm going to bless Yitzchak, so you might think, you might be concerned that Yitzchak's midah is din, and din is going to be too much of a challenge for this world to handle. So don't worry, I'm comforting you by telling you that this blessing is rooted in Kal V'Chomer. This blessing is rooted in Kal V'Chomer, which means it's rooted in Chesed. And if it's rooted in Chesed, then you could be sure that even though Yitzchak's midah is din, your tamimus that you achieve with the Bris Milah is still going to be the backdrop of all that din. So there's going to be a combination of din and chesed. Don't worry, don't be fearful of it. Okay, that's our chesedus for the day. Pretty good, no? That's good chesedus. Rav Yosef Engel is very, yeah. I couldn't get into the Kabbalistic reasons yet, but at least the chesedus reasons I thought were very, very good. Yeah.
He aligns Kel with
Rachman
and Chesed.
Right, yeah, I know what you're going to ask. Yeah, what? Yeah, the problem is that another one of the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim is actually Rav Chesed. It's hard to say Kel is the Lashon of Chesed, then what's Chesed the Lashon of, right? That's a very challenging question. You have to assume that Kel is a Lashon of Chesed, it's a Shem Hashem that relates to Chesed. Rachamim is not a Shem Hashem, which is also questionable, meaning the fact that you're not allowed to throw out Shem Hashem, right? So is Rachamim included on that? Racham is a description rather than a shame, one could argue. So the Kel is a shame. Every shame is descriptive also of Hashem, obviously, but Kel is primarily a shame and secondarily a description. So of the shame of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei and everything else, Kel, I guess, would be the most, the one associated with Rachamim. He doesn't over here carry it through to explain all 13. If he did, maybe we'd be able to see how it relates. But anyway, that's the Vart of Rav Yosef Eichner. Now, going back... Yeah?
Just to respond to it, you're saying that it's like it doesn't work because giving an onesh might be a chesed? Like, if by definition, even if it's still for the good, it's still... onesh is still a pain.
Right, right. It's still painful and something people... Given the choice, people would rather not go through it. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. 100%. I agree. Now let's go back a little bit to the Marsha, okay? I was yet to say. Let's go back a little bit. So the Marsha, I only want to focus on the Marsha today. The Marsha is the one that said that you can't say that the Svara for Einon Shemin Adin is very simple. If I'm going to give an Onesh for a lesser Avera, doesn't mean that that same Onesh is going to work for a more severe Avera, because the Onesh is supposed to be a Kapara. And if it's not a sufficient Kapara for the more severe Avera, then like we said, you're stam assaulting the person. It's not doing what it's supposed to achieve. That's the whole Svara of Einon Shemin Adin, right? That was the Marsha. So he has a very interesting Raya way back at page 11. Actually, even before, on page 11. First, before he even gets to Araya, he says, do we ever find such a svara in Shas that something that's more severe, that is a worse Avera, you're going to get less punished because you did too bad of an Avera to be able to get out with a punishment? Do we ever find such an idea that a worse Avera is a less of a punishment because the punishment's insufficient? So he says, I could think of 5 places in Shas that we have such a thing. Rav Yosef Engel is mamish. I mean, he was, every pore was dripping with bekiyus. I mean, he doesn't just quote, like, it was not like he was a bucky in Nashim Nezikin, and he quotes only from Nashim Nezikin. He quotes, you can see, from the Pirush Mishnayos to the Rambam in Me'ila. You know, like, mamish, it was coming out of every pore. It was unbelievable. Unbelievably inspiring bucky. So says Rav Yosef Engel, I'll give you 5 examples. Number one, he says, the Smag describes why it is that when you're mavir zara lemolech, when you pass your child through molech for an avodah zara yechayv misa, but if you're mavir kol zara lemolech, if you have one child and you're mavir lemolech, so yechayv the most severe. If you're mavir kol zara lemolech, you're pater. What? Kol zara? I have, let's say, a man has 3 children. So he's mavir one of his children lemolech, chayv misa. Mavir the other 2 also, and now he's pater. It's obviously worse to be mavir all 3 children lemolech than to be mavir the first one. It's a good trivia question. How can a person who did an avera get out of an onesh by doing another avera? Get out of any onesh. You see, you could normally, the answer to the question, how do you get out of the onesh for avera number 1? By doing another avera. If you see to it that while you're doing avera number 1, you also do a more severe avera, and you say kol avera. But how do you do an additional avera and get out of any onesh? So you're mavir kol zara lemolech. Person is afraid of dying after being mavir zara lemolech, just do it to the other kids also. And then you're good. I mean, you're not good, because up in Shemayim, I mean, you really need a kapara, and now you're not going to get one, and you need a much bigger kapara. Same exact idea. Example number 2, Gemara Makas that Bezim and Bez. Gemara says, Edim Zomim are pater from Galus based on the Kal V'Chomer. A guy who does a Maisa B'Mezid, a guy who murders on purpose, does not go to Galus. Say Edim Zomim, who didn't do a Maisa, they did it b'mezid, they lied on purpose, but they didn't do a Maisa, they just used words, of course should not go to Galus. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That's exactly why they should go to Galus. The guy who did Maisa b'mezid doesn't get to go to Galus. Don't view Galus as a punishment, view it as an opportunity for Kapara. So someone who did a Maisa b'mezid doesn't get to have that Kapara. Someone who just used words does get to have that Kapara. So that's why, so again, you see the same idea. The guy who did something worse doesn't get to have the punishment because the punishment is too much of a kapara. Yeah?
For the first case, if you only have one kid, then
So I don't know. I'm not sure what the din is. Yeah. The third example he gives is Tosus and Pesach and Lamed Beis and Beis. Got to be Yotzei Shol and Vidarshan today. So he says, Tosus and Pesach and Beis and Beis, Dibra Maschel Me'ila, ask the following kasha. Tema, Neima Hiyano Senes, Deshar Mitzvah Shebekari Shein Chamuros, Ein Lizdonon Kapara, Aval Me'ila Sheikala Shein Bekari Yesh Lizdonon Kapara. The Gemara over there says that if you do Mi'ila B'mezid, you get Hanah from Magdish B'mezid, you don't get the punishments of Mi'ila. You don't bring the korban and everything that you, and the payments that you would normally do for Mi'ila. So he said, the Tosfos says, I don't understand. Other mitzvos are that your chayv karis for when you do B'mezid. I'm sorry, when you do other mitzvos that your chayv karis, which are very severe, there's no kapara when you do them B'mezid, but Mi'ila, which is very light, where there's no kares, so yesh lizdona kapara, there should be kapara, meaning, Tosfos saying, the lesser avera should carry with it a punishment, because it is a lesser avera, and therefore maybe you deserve to get a kapara. Fourth example, Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam on Meseches Trumos. Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, and Seder's Ram, Meseches Trumos. The Mishnah over there says, if a person eats truma, b'mezid, he's Meshalem Mesekeren Veinu Meshalem Mesechomesh. Halacha is normally, if I, let's say, go to my friend Mr. Cohen's house, and I eat some of his food, and I didn't realize that it was truma food. I just ate, because I was at his house. But he's a Cohen, he's got truma food in his house, so it's totally bishogeg. The halacha is, I have to be mishali mekaren and chomesh. I have to pay back whatever it was worth, and then add another 25% on top of that. Karen v'chomesh. But let's say I did it b'mezid, then karen no chomesh. Then I just pay what the food was worth, I don't pay the extra chomesh. Says the Rambam, why? Why did you have to pay the extra chomesh? He says, because the chomesh is a kapara. And if you did it b'shogeg, you deserve a kapara. You did it b'mezid, you don't deserve a kapara. Again, the same svara. The more severe the avera, the less your chance at kapara. And final raya from the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the sixth parak of Mi'ila, that if you do Mi'ila b'mezid, you're not chayiv. Why? Because your avera is too big to get a kapara. So you only chayiv, and the chayiv over there would only be a kapara. The chayiv of tashlumin and the karban would only be a kapara. So that's the yisod. We see that the marshal's yisod, that a more severe avera maybe doesn't get a punishment because the punishment is insufficient. That comes up all over Shas. That comes up all over the place. We have five very strong marmakobos for that, right? Yeah.
You see, it's not just that it's inefficient. I think at least four of these cases, three or four of these cases, it's saying that if it's been mazed, then there's no kapara. Like I'm saying, we know that from the Hilchos Tshuva. That like if you do something or not because you know you're gonna be able to get kapara,
Bemezid doesn't mean because you know you're going to be able to get kapara. Bemezid means I did the aver on purpose.
Isn't that kind of implied if you do an aver on purpose that you know?
No, I'm not even thinking about kapara. I don't care about kapara. I just want to do the aver because I'm really hungry and that cheeseburger looks good.
That's different than I'm doing this and I'll do kapara.
And I'll get tshuva later. Yeah, I'm not going to do tshuva. I don't even like God. I don't believe in God. I'm just going to do this because. Wow, if someone were to take a clip out of our shiur today.
Yeah.
It could be very bad. All right. Yeah. I do love Hashem. I believe in Hashem. Okay. The raya, then he brings a raya that the marsha must be correct, based on the Gemara in Kiddush and Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara has an unbelievable Hava Mina. The Gemara says that there's a sheet of Rabbi Ishmael. Gemara in Kiddushin talks about mitzvos atlis ba'aretz versus mitzvos atlis ba'aretz. Which mitzvos are done in Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvos are even done in Chutz La'aretz. So, for instance, Trumas Maestros, Eretz Yisrael. Tefillin, everywhere, right? So Gemara tries to figure out what the rule is. So there is a sheet of Rabbi Ishmael that anytime the Torah says, B'chol Moshavos Eichem, anytime it says Moshavos, it means Eretz Yisrael alone. But if it doesn't say Moshavos, then it means Chutz La'aretz as well. But anytime it emphasizes the place where you are supposed to reside, so then it would be Noheg, only in Eretz Yisrael. That's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Kol Makom Shnerim Bo Moshav, Eino Ela La'achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So asks the Gemara and Rabbi Shmuel, wait a second, what about this past week's Parsha? Lo Sivaru Eish, now what's that about? Shabbos. Chil Shabbos. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz? Wow, half Shabbos is nothing. We could do much better. So the Gemara says, no, Shabbos is pashut, you got to keep in Chutz Lartz, because that's Kal V'chomer. Look at all the little mitzvahs that you got to keep in Chutz Lartz. The little Averos, you're not allowed to do in Chutz Lartz. So if, even for the little things, you have to give them Chutz Lartz, Kal V'chomer, something big like Shabbos. Shabbos is, you know, Osi Beinu V'Nechem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's a foundation of our Emunah. You know, I mean, there's a lot. Shabbos is like really, really, really important to Judaism. So it's impossible that we have all these little mitzvahs you got to keep in Chutz Lartz and not Shabbos. So the Shabbos is a Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer, you have to keep Shabbos in Chutz Lartz. Fractor Yosef Engel. Let's say someone violates Shabbos and Chutz Lartz b'mezid with Eidim and with Hasra'a. What's the halacha? What? What do you say? Come on. A guy's Machal Shabbos, Eidim, Hasra'a, Chayv Skila, right? No? That wasn't a true question. Right. Chayv Skila. Wait a second. How do I know you have to keep Shabbos and Chutz Lartz? Kal V'chomer. Whatever happened to an onesh min adin? So you shouldn't get an onesh for being mechal Shabbos and Chutz Lartz. It's an onesh min adin. Very strong. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it's not a kasha if you hold like the Marsha. There's a riot to the Marsha. Why? Why is it not a kasha if you hold like the Marsha? Because what did the Marsha say? The whole reason of onesh min adin is that if you're gonna, the punishment will suffice for a lesser avera, then it won't necessarily suffice for a bigger Avera. Where does the Torah tell us for sure we know that you get Skila in Eretz Yisrael, being Mechal Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? Is it a bigger Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz? Certainly not. In fact, if anything, it's a lesser Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. Why would you say that? That sounds crazy. Why would it be a lesser Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz? Because the Gemara even has a half a meter for a half a second there. That what? That there's no Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. So it's got to be a lesser Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. If anything, it's or maybe the same, but it's certainly not a bigger Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. So if it's not a bigger Avera to be Mechal Shabbos in Chutz Laretz, it's not a problem. Einon Shemin Adin. Of course you can give the Onesh. Einon Shemin Adin means, don't tell me an Onesh by a more serious Avera based on the fact that I already know an Onesh by a less serious Avera. Because maybe for the more serious Avera, the Onesh is not going to be Mechaper. But over here, we learn the concept of Chil Shabbos in Chutz Laretz from a Kal V'chomer. But it can't be, it's not, it's simply not Shaykh that you're going to be Chayv Skila for Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, which is more severe, and you're not going to be Chayv Skila for Shabbos in Chutz Laretz because it's too severe. It's less severe than Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Meaning, the Kal V'chomer that we learned Shabbos in Chutz Laretz from was Kal V'chomer from other Averos, from like lesser Averos. So Kal V'chomer Shabbos should apply. But once we know that Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, which is even more severe, carries with it Skila, so of course Shabbos in Chutz Laretz that's less severe is not going to be too big to get a Kapara through Skila. Now one could argue maybe you shouldn't get a Kapara, maybe you shouldn't get Skila because maybe it's not severe enough. It's not as severe as Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. I have a couple of problems with this line of reasoning. First problem is just that he mentions, even matter-of-factly, that if anything, Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz is less severe because the Gemara had a Hava Amina that there's no Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara never had a Hava Amina that there's no Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz. There are two ways you can read the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, how can you say B'kol Moshavos means whenever it says Moshav, it means only in Eretz Yisrael, Ach Yerushav Yeshiva. What about Shabbos? So do you think the Gemara was honestly asking, wow, Shabbos free in Chutz Laretz, we don't have to worry about Shabbos anymore? What was it? The Gemara knew we keep Shabbos in Chutz Laretz. It never called that into question. What was the Gemara really asking? The Gemara was saying, your drush is obviously wrong. Unless you could defend your drasha somehow. Your drasha is wrong because we know it's a given. It's a given, Shabbos and Chutz Laretz. Never really has a havamina, not even for a fleeting moment, that there's no Shabbos and Chutz Laretz. That's problem number one I have with his analysis. Problem number two I have with his analysis is just like the Marasha says, that when you have a more severe Isser, you can't apply the Onesh, Min Adin, because it's not going to be enough to be Mechaper. I would imagine the Marsha would say that when you have a less severe Isser, you can't apply the Onesh. Because it might be too much of an Onesh. So if Shabbos M'chutz La'aretz is less severe than Shabbos Neretz Yisrael is, so maybe Skila is too much of an Onesh for Chutz La'aretz. Won't be any better according to the Marsha. And also, the Kal V'chomer is not that we're learning Shabbos and Chutz La'aretz from Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael. No, it's not the Kal V'chomer. Where do we learn Shabbos and Chutz La'aretz from? From other Averos, from the lesser Averos. There is a rule, whenever you learn something from a Kal V'chomer, Dayo, Labba Min Adin Lios Kenidon. And whenever you're learning Kal V'chomer, you can only make it as severe as the place from where you learned it. We're not learning the Kal V'chomer from Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, we're learning the Kal V'chomer from other Averos that aren't Chayiv Skila. So the Gemara anyway is difficult. Even like the Marsha. Marsha doesn't help you here. I think the best way to understand this Gemara, what you need to say is that we're not, this isn't called Onesh Min Adin. Onesh Min Adin is, you know something's Asur, and then we're using Kal V'chomer to tell us what the Onesh should be for that. Over here, we're using the Kal V'chomer to teach me that something's Asur in the first place. That if less severe Averos are Asur, Kal V'chomer, Shabbos is Asur. Once you say Shabbos is Shayach and Chutz La'aretz, Memela, all the rules of Shabbos are Shayach and Chutz La'aretz. It's a step removed. We're not learning the Isur Skila from a Kal V'chomer. We're learning that the concept of Shabbos extends to Chutz La'aretz. Once the concept of Shabbos extends to Chutz La'aretz, it's Shabbos with all of its rules. All the rules and regulations of Shabbos are Shayach Chutz La'aretz. This may be an issue of Ein Masirin Min Adin. It's a problem. Derech Agav, Rav Yosef Engel mentions the general idea that it's got to be Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael is more chamer than Shabbos Chutz La'aretz because, and I'm sure you're familiar with this idea, the Ramban makes a big deal about it. Ramban Ala Torah. The Ramban says because everything in Eretz Yisrael is more severe than anything we do in Chutz La'aretz. Even mitzvahs that were chayiv in Chutz La'aretz, you have to be careful how you say this, but the Ramban says something like are really just practice for Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, we're here in Chutz La'aretz, we're throwing spring training batting practice in our religious observance. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're playing during the real season. You're playing when it counts. Do you still have to show up to spring training? Of course you do. We'll void your contract if you don't show up to spring training. If you're a pitcher, you got to throw some batting practice. But it's not the real deal. The real deal, when our actions have real maximum meaning, where every pitch is scrutinized, and we can legends become legends and villains become villains, is when it counts. And that's Eretz Yisrael. Thought that that's I think that's it reflects a certain higher reality in Eretz Yisrael, if I can get mushy about Eretz Yisrael for a minute. It reflects a certain I mentioned to you my chavrusa Rabbi Razner Shlita, when I was talking to him about the challenges of raising children in Eretz Yisrael, said you have to understand it's completely different than it is in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, a kid is going to obsess about shtuyot, about things that are completely meaningless, which is fine, you know, baseball and basketball and music and movies and whatever. Let's just be into stupidity. And that will be what they're into, what they're really into. In Eretz Yisrael, if a kid's really into something, it's a hafganah, it's a, you know, it's a tiyul, it's Zionism, it's anti-Zionism, it's, you know, it's something of deep meaning. Right or wrong, it's something of deep meaning. Because in Eretz Yisrael, what are all the shtuyot? All of it is, it's a facade, it's not reality. It's not real life. In Eretz Yisrael, everything is real. Life is real. Mitzvos are real. Everything is just on a higher level of reality. And people relate to it in that way. So it has so much more meaning. And that's true in Shmiras and Mitzvahs as well. Of all of the arguments for Aliyah, against Aliyah, you know, halachically, are you mechuyev? Is it mitzvah kiyumis? Mitzvah chiyuvis? What are we, is it mitzvah noig bismanazah? The Mikvah Sester? The Rambam? Forget all the arguments. The most pashut reason why a person should live in Eretz Yisrael is because, do you want to be throwing batting practice and spring training for the rest of your life? Do you want to be playing when it counts? Some people are saying, I'm happy to throw batting practice, spring training, collecting my $10,000 a year salary to throw batting practice or whatever. You know, then go into the minor leagues. But, you know, is that the aspiration? Is that the dream? Is that the goal? Anyway, that's just Derech Agav, if he mentions that.
How is there onesh
in Chutz Laretz on... No. It is halachically, mitzvos are halachically binding in Chutz Laretz, but on some level, even though it's halachically binding, and we're responsible for them, just like I think spring training mashal is good. You have to show up, and you're responsible, and you get fined if you miss, you come a day late to spring training. It matters, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter so much. You know, what you're doing isn't really critical. You're not, the media is not going to get on you for throwing a wild pitch in batting practice in spring training. So that's the raya that he brings to the Marsha from that Gemara in Kiddushin. I think the raya is questionable for several reasons, like we said. Yeah.
What is the more do the pasuk of Chol Moshe Seichem? What is it used for?
By Shabbos?
Or if it's not to tell us that it's only in Israel, then what is it?
Yeah, I don't remember. The Gemara discusses it. I don't remember the Gemara. He then raises the following kasha. Well, we've discussed already the kasha that Rav Yosef Engel has on the Marsha from Sanhedrin Davayin Gimel. The Gemara says Sanhedrin Davayin Gimel, how do I know that if you see Reuven chasing after Shimon to kill him, that you're allowed to kill Reuven? So the Gemara said, Kal v'chomer, if you see Reuven trying to rape a girl, you're allowed to kill Reuven. So Kal v'chomer, if you see Reuven chasing after Shimon to kill him, where he's doing much worse, not just rape, even though it's hard to say the word just rape, but it's not that he's only being pogay in person, he's actually murdering a person, so Kal v'chomer, you're allowed to kill him. So the Gemara says, no, that's no good, why? Einon Shimon Adin. Says Rav Yosef Engel, that doesn't work with the Marsha, because the whole svar of Einon Shimon Adin is that a misa for a lesser avera or an onesh for a lesser avera may not be mechaper for a bigger avera. But why do you kill Reuven when he's about to kill Shimon? Not because you're giving him kapara. It's not a din in kapara. What's it a din in? Hatzalah. You're trying to save Shimon. It's a din in saving Shimon's life. It's not a din in trying to be mechaper. It's not a din kapara. So how can the Gemara even ask? Einon Shimon Adin has nothing to do whatsoever with kapara. That's his kasha from Sanhedrin Dafayim Gimel. Now, for some reason, this piece is written in somewhat of a choppy way, where he goes off on a big tangent to discuss Chashash Pircha, then he comes back, then he goes... So I'm going to go a little out of order, like I have already. And instead of just reading straight on page, whatever, 11, 12, 13, go to page 17, where he asks the following. Page 17 at the top. Vida. Demashik sheisi alamar shah hanal. Every time he quotes the Marsha, he gives a two-line summary of what the Marsha says. So like 8 different times in this piece, he tells you what the Marsha says, because he hadn't mentioned it in 5 pages. So he mentions again what the Marsha says. So he said, remember, I asked the Kasha on the Marsha, what do you do with Sanhedrin Dafayin Gimel? There's no kapara by Sanhedrin Dafayin Gimel, by killing a rodeif. It's only a din hatzalah. It's not a din kapara. So he says, you know what? It's not only a kasha from Sanhedrin Dafayin Gimel. It's also a kasha, and by rodeif, it's also a kasha by Edim Zomimin. The Gemara in Makos on Daf Hey, Amud Beis, applies Einon Shimon Adin to Edim Zomimin. You know what? What does the Gemara want to say over there? The Gemara wants to say like this: if a person is an Edim Zomim, lies in court, and he says Reuven killed Shimon, and Reuven actually gets killed, the halacha is he's off the hook, right? But if Reuven doesn't actually get killed, then the Edim Zomim do get killed. So the Gemara wanted to say Kal v'chomer. If lo hargu neheragin, if when the Edom Zomim didn't actually kill the guy, they get killed. So kal v'chomer, when they do kill the guy, when Reuven actually gets killed, of course the Edom Zomim should get killed. Answers Gemara, inon shemina din. Can't use kal v'chomer to give the onesh. According to the Marsha, that would only make sense if the reason we kill Edom Zomim is for kapara. Why do we kill Edom Zomim? Is it really for kapara? So you could say yes. They did this terrible event, they need a kapara. However, there is a Ramban al Torah, two major Ramban al Torahs we did today. One with Eretz Yisrael, and this other Ramban al Torah is also a fascinating Ramban al Torah, very critical from Masechet Sanhedrin, where the Ramban al Torah writes about Ben Sora Mora. He writes in Parshas Kisisa about Ben Sora Mora, but then he branches out and says, you know why we kill a Ben Sora Mora? He didn't do anything that he deserves to die for yet. But we do it, okay, we know what the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, Al Shem Sofo. Ramban says, yeah, but you know what Al Shem Sofo really means? It's not just Sofo, what he's going to end up doing. It's a way of deterring the entire society from misbehaving. One kid steps out of line, we stone him, you could bet there's not going to be a second kid that steps out of line. We show society, look what happens when a kid behaves like this. And we make a big deal about it. And we have to be machriz. We're supposed to publicize, scream from the rooftops that this is what we're doing. Ramban brings rayas that these are halachos, that you need to publicize it. Why do you need to publicize it? Who cares publicizing? You're publicizing it because that's the whole point. You're not punishing him and giving him a kapara. He didn't even do anything. Certainly nothing that deserves misa. So I'll give you another example, Ramban says, a mesis. What's a mesis? A guy who tries to get someone else to do avodah zara, right? Let's say he's unsuccessful. Reuven tries to convince Shimon to do avodah zara, and Shimon doesn't listen. Reuven's chayiv skila. He didn't do anything. Shimon didn't even listen. The world is going to see what happens when you try to get other people to do avodah zara. It's a show for the world. Says Ramban, Edim Zomimin. They didn't do anything. Nothing happened to the guy. They said Reuven killed Shimon and therefore Reuven has to die, but we quoted it in time. We proved them to be liars. Reuven is saved. No harm, no foul, right? We have to show the world, though. You don't get away with being Nitzel. It's to be mochiach the rest of society, says the Rabban. If that's the case, the whole concept of Einon Shemin Adin doesn't make sense. The Marsha's Einon Shemin Adin is based in the Onesh being for Kapara. By Edom Zomim, the onesh isn't for kapara, the onesh is to show the world. So there is no concept of Einon Shemin Adin. So the Gemara Makas, Taf Hei Beis, flies in the face of the Marsha as well. So what do we have working against the Marsha? We have the Gemara Sanhedrin, Taf Hei and Gimel working against the Marsha. And we have, at least according to the Ramban, the Gemara Makas, Taf Hei Beis working against the Marsha. According to the Ramban, that onesh of Edom Zomim is not a din kapara, so why does Makas Taf Hei and Beis use Einon Shemin Adin vis-a-vis kapara? And I want to just close here with one last ta'ara that Rav Yosef Engel has also, and again, brilliant. Let's say you have two guys, two sets of Edom. Reuven and Shimon come to court, they say that Moshe killed Aaron, right? Levi Yehuda come to court, they say Moshe killed Aaron. Reuven and Shimon are found to be Edom Zomim before we kill Moshe, before Moshe gets his penalty, right? Levi and Yehuda are found to be Edom Zomim, but it's too late, Moshe's already dead. Who did the worst avera? Reuven and Shimon, or Levi and Yehuda? Meaning, you have two cases. Both guys, both sets of Edom, in each case, case one, case two, Reuven and Shimon's case, Levi Yehuda's case, they both did the same thing, right? What did they do? They testified falsely about a murder. One of them had repercussions, because Bezin actually listened to them and killed somebody. The other one didn't. Whose fault is it that Bezin did or didn't listen? Does it have anything to do with the Edom? That's luck. Their Avera was saying those words. Whether Bezin actually follows through and does something with it, or catches them in time, that's all B'yad Hashem right now. Once those words are out of their mouth, it's a matter of court record, they have no control over those words anymore at all. That's the end of their Avera.
Yeah,
It was just a story in the news, just to give a mashal. A guy, a very lewd story, but a guy videotaped his roommate doing some highly, whatever, on a college campus, highly offensive things. Now, I'm sure it's not the first time in secular college campus history that someone videoed their roommate doing something offensive and embarrassing. I'm fairly certain it's not the first time someone put it on the internet either. But, you see, this guy got unlucky because his roommate committed suicide. So as opposed to the guy who just, you know, got into a fight with his roommate and now is fine and is working in Merrill Lynch or something, this guy, his roommate committed suicide. So where's he going to be? He's going to sit in jail for the next 5 years. Which Avera was worse? Did one of them do anything worse than the other one? No, they did the same Avera. So it's one of them actually, you know, by luck, or lack of luck, it played out poorly for him. Edim Zomman, what kind of Kal V'chomer is that? Says Rav Zengel. Well, Kal V'chomer doesn't make sense. That if they don't kill the Edim Zomman, the guy doesn't get killed, so the Edim will get killed. So when they do kill, of course the Edim will get killed. Well, Kal V'chomer doesn't make sense. The Aver is the same. If you look at the Onesh as a Kapara, it's the same. Because they need a kapara for the same Avera. They need to be mechapa for the same Avera. But if you look at the onesh from outside of kapara, from something else, then maybe you can make such a Kal V'chomer. Because look, the repercussions were much worse over here. But vis-a-vis kapara, in terms of the Maisa Avera, how bad was Maisa Avera? It's the same. Whether the guy got killed or the guy didn't get killed. Very sharp point. I think there's a deep philosophical concept over here that needs to be analyzed, which is actions versus results. Understand? To what extent do we say that we're responsible for our actions, and to what extent are we responsible for the results of our actions? Sometimes we get lucky and we do something terrible and nothing bad comes of it. Does that mean no harm, no foul? Because nothing bad came and no bad results? Are we saying that the action itself is just as bad? If someone could have gotten killed, it's just as bad as if someone did get killed. That's in the paragraph Vida on the bottom right-hand side of page 17 over there. All right. Blinader, tomorrow will be the last Ein Onesh Min HaDin shiur. And then, Blinader, for now. And then next week we'll move on to another sugya.